thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Your host star, Will T, and myself, Wally. Ray Jeezy is out. Will T's running a little late, but he should be here. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will T would normally say this when, you know, he's running late, but he normally says this. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here are our topics. Truth About is Washington Wizards insider Troy Halliburton will join us to break down the Washington Wizards trading away Otto Porter to the Bulls for Jabari Parker and Bobby Portis. At 8:20, we'll debate if the Washington Redskins should draft a quarterback in the first round. At 8:30, we'll break down the other NBA trades prior to the NBA trade deadline. At 8:40, we'll discuss NBA All-Star Weekend. Finally, at 8:50, we'll talk about the Browns signing running back Kareem Hunt. But first, right now, we have Truth About It's Washington Wizards insider Troy Halliburton on the line. What's up, Troy?
Wally, what's going on? How you doing today, brother?
Oh, I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed. I mean, you know, a lot's going on in D.C., obviously, with this Washington Wizards team. The Washington Wizards traded away Otto Porter Jr. To the Chicago Bulls for Jabari Parker, Bobby Portis, and a protected second-round pick. What were your initial thoughts on this trade when you heard it going, when you heard it went down?
Well, as soon as I heard it went down, I figured Ernie must be making his last-ditch effort to save his job once again. That was, you know, that was my first thought. My second thought was, I guess they finally decided that, you know, Otto Porter wasn't really worth that max contract, and if the Wizards weren't going to be able to contend with paying three max contract players, it makes sense to, you know, share the salary on one of those contracts and see about, you know, hitting a bit of a restart button.
So after seeing Jabari, after seeing Jabari Parker and Portis in their first, to the first three games, what are your thoughts now? What are your thoughts about those players and the trade?
I think that in order for that trade to be fully effective, Ernie Grunfeld has to not make that a half measure and go ahead and save that extra cap space that he got and save that for somebody that might be a little bit worth it in the future, because Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker, they are not that.
So you're not a fan of Bobby Portis? Bobby Portis, you know, he's knocking down three
to
five
positions. I like Bobby Portis, but Bobby Portis said he wanted to make $17 million a year next year, and he's a restricted free agent.
Wow.
So at that number, I mean, there's no way that the Wizards could possibly re-sign him. Well, they could re-sign him, but I don't think that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, them getting rid of Otto Porter, the fact that he made $27 million a year next year, and they pretty much shared that salary. So, you know, they can use that money for you know, all different types of reasons. But Bobby Porter, signing Bobby Porter and Jabari Parker wouldn't be one of those reasons.
So how would you grade Ernie Grunfeld on this deal?
I mean, I'd give him a C. Uh-huh. He would get a higher mark. He'd get a higher mark if it wasn't for the fact that he is classic Ernie Grunfeld move, the fireman arsonist, putting out the fire that he created.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if it wasn't him, you know, putting out a fire that he created by signing Otto Porter to a max contract deal in the summer of 2017, when he didn't necessarily have to, because the Wizards could have offered Otto Porter the same contract that Victor Oladipo got in the fall before that year. They didn't have to wait until they got to the point where they had to give him a max. But because the Wizards are never proactive, they're always reacting to everything else, they end up in a situation where, you know, it was like musical chairs and they were kind of stuck. So, no, Ernie doesn't get any credit from me for having to fix a situation that he created.
So do you think, you know, obviously Otto on this team wasn't, I mean, he didn't reach the levels that they thought he would reach. But do you think do you think Scott Brooks is a fan of Otto Porter? I guess that's what I'm trying to go with it.
No, I don't think he was a fan of Otto Porter. I think that the coaching player relationship never really hit off between those two, and that was a part of the reason why. I mean, they also had to move on from Otto. It doesn't matter whether, you know, he could have the analytics of a guy who should be paid like a third max player. But if he's never going to be able to put in a position with this team, the way that it's currently constructed, to do that, then it's really a waste of contract.
Okay. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wiley, Will T. Ray's out right now. We have Truth About It's Wizards insider Troy Halliburton online. So with this trade, what do you think? What was Ernie's plan? I'm trying to figure out what was his plan. Was it just to shed cap space? I mean, like,
exactly.
That's all it was?
That's, I mean, when you look at it, the Wizards started out the year, they were $18 million above the luxury tax line.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, at the end of the trade deadline, they're almost $500,000 under the salary tax line. So your man Ernie Grunfeld shed $19 million in salary this year. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, I think that money, that him saving that money, that's going directly back into Ted Leonsis' pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime you can save the owner, you know, they saving $20 and luxury tax payment, you know, that right there will get you a pat on the back from the owner for sure, saving them upwards of $20 million.
So you mentioned before between Portis and Parker that you felt like, I mean, these two dudes won't be in the Wizards' futures. But between those two individuals, who do you feel like is more likely to re-sign?
Without question, Bobby Portis. Mm-hmm. I think the Wizards' best bet would be for Bobby Portis to go out and get onto the market and realize that, you know, not only are the Wizards not going to pay him $17 million a year, that nobody else is going to pay him that money either. And then maybe he'll come back down to a number somewhere between 8 and 12. That's more his speed.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be willing to go that far because he does give the team some added depth at the power forward and center position. So if you could get, you know, if you could get Bobby Portis to sign for about $9 million and you can get Thomas Bryant to sign for $6 million, you know, you spend $15 million, but you got two of your front court positions, you know, pretty much solidified. And then you add in Dwight Howard, who is almost guaranteed to opt into his $5 million player option next year. I mean, that's a nice big man rotation between those three players if they could somehow swing that.
So, all right, this team is, you know, Markieff Morris. I mean, one of the tough dudes in the locker room. He's gone. Otto's gone. What would these two dudes be remembered for?
I think Keith will be remembered for, as you said, you know, being the kind of the muscle of the team over the last 3 years. He and John Wall co-founded Death Row DC.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that will, you know, will be lasting. I got a Death Row DC T-shirt, so that's almost a collector's item at this point. I think Otto Porter will be remembered for never really living up to his max contract.
Yeah.
And I think that by the time he left, a lot of the fans, media, and even players in that locker room, you know, had kind of soured on his time in D.C. So, you know, while, you know, he was drafted in 2013 after spending 2 years at Georgetown,
mm-hmm.
so he's really been a fixture in D.C. sports, you know, for the last 7 to 8 years. And I really think for the majority of that, there's been good times. But for the last 2 years with him, you know, making max contract money and the fans not really feeling that, I think that, you know, people will have that lasting taste in their mouth and won't really remember, you know, all the good things that he did do for the city.
So what do you think? Do you think him leaving the city was a good thing for him in terms of his professional growth?
Oh, I think it was probably one of the best things that could have possibly happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
Just because him going to Chicago, number one, you know, he's automatically, you know, their most efficient player. And I know they have Zach LaVine,
mm-hmm.
Who is an explosive scorer. He's a volume scorer.
Yeah.
So, you know, Otto Porter automatically goes into a situation in Chicago where the team and the coaches, you know, they're already going to treat him like a second star. So, you know, he'll be able to kind of showcase his skills. And with him still being young, he after he's got 2 more years on his max contract deal, you know, he's still showcasing himself to get another contract for when he's 27 years old, 2 years from now.
So do you think anybody, I mean, without bringing, I mean, because you covered the team, without putting any names out there, but anybody who's truly going to miss Otto Porter in terms of what he brought to the team?
Georgetown Hoyan brother, Jeff Green, was Shirley Messon.
Of course.
Otto used to hang out heavy with Thomas Satoransky and Jan Mahimi. And I guess when Jason Smith was there, they used to have like a little crew
that
go out to dinners and stuff. And so he'll be next within the team for sure.
Okay.
I think Brad really didn't have too much of an issue with him, and he said some pretty nice and glowing things about him. But yeah, I mean, Otto was the type of guy where, you know, he kept to himself so much that, you know, even if guys didn't love him, like, it's hard for, you know, people to say that they didn't like the
guy.
I got you.
So, all right, how this team is constructed, do you think they can make a run for the AFC? I mean, I know it's sad to worry about the AFC, but I'm just saying, like,
not only will they not make a run for the AFC, I think at this point they'd be kind of foolish to do so. I'm being honest right now, because but the way that I'm looking at the roster, it's about 25 games left, and they're the seventh worst team in the league. I mean, right now, if the season were to end today, they'd have like a 9% chance of getting the number one pick, according to the new NBA lottery odds.
Yeah,
like that right there. If they could finish, they could even. I was looking at the standings. They could even jump up over Memphis. And, you know, finish with a worse record than them, they can have a chance to finish with the sixth slot in the NBA draft. Well, you know, meaning they'd have a good chance of getting a top five pick in the next coming draft and a draft stock full of talent. Like, it really doesn't even make sense for them, because even if they were to make the playoffs, what's that going to get Ted Leon for? Two playoff gates, you know, two home playoff games, and that's it. Because this team can't be. I mean, you've seen them play against Milwaukee and Toronto in the last couple of weeks. I mean, nobody wants to see them, you know, get embarrassed in the first round of the playoffs.
No, I'm with you. They did like a JV team playing against a varsity team when they play those teams. It's really that bad.
Yeah, yeah. It would take a miracle for them to, you know, make the playoffs and then you know, actually, you know, win a couple of games. At that point, the risk definitely outweighs the reward, which would be, you know, putting yourself in a better position for draft lottery.
Cool. So, hey, Troy, before I let you go, how can our listeners check out your content?
Okay, man. I post the majority of my content on my Twitter page. My handle is at Troy Halibur, Halibur. I post a lot of my stuff on truthaboutit.net, the True Hoop blog. And also, True Hoop is going to be making a big comeback. Shout out to Henry Abbott from ESPN, who's relaunching the True Hoop website. So you should expect some big things coming from them soon. And you can also catch my work over at the Washington City paper. Cool. I just had a recent article yesterday where I talked about how the Wizards need to, how Ernie Grunfeld needs to make sure that, you know, now that he's made this trade and getting rid of Otto Porter and getting that cap space, that he doesn't go back into the old measures of paying unnecessary people and then putting the Wizards right back in the same position they were in before the season started.
Well, actually, that you just raised a point. So, what do you think that Ernie should do in the offseason now? What should be his goal?
Well, I think the first thing I think that Ted. Let's find somebody to try to replace Ernie.
See, I wasn't even trying to go that route. I wasn't even trying.
At this point, it doesn't even make any sense as to why he is still able to run the show after, you know, 18 years of, I don't know, just poor results, to say the least. But, I mean, if Ernie was to be running the show, I think that his best bet would be to try to draft. They're going to have a high draft pick no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he needs to try to nail that draft pick. And then I would be looking and trying to find some cheap, underrated talent in the free agent market.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I know that there are a lot of max players out there, but, you know, there are a few under the radar guys that are, you know, coming off a rookie contract, or maybe some guys who were in bad situations the last couple of years. I would be looking to try to get some guys off some cheap deals, like how they did with, you know, getting Jeff Green,
Mike Scott,
on a minimum contract.
like on Mike Scott.
So I will be looking for the next, you know, Jeff Green type.
Got you.
Rather than, you know, trying to go out and spend a whole lot of money.
No, I totally agree. Babe, Troy, man, thanks for being on, my man. You know, I appreciate you.
Hey, man, it's not a problem. Well, you know, anytime you call, I'm going to answer it always, you know, sit down, chop it up about the Wizards.
You already know, my man. All right, man, you stay blessed.
All right, you too, man. Take it easy.
All right, same here. Again, that's my man, Troy Halliburton from Truth. He's a Truth About It's Washington Wizards insider. My man, Will T's in the building. What's going on, Will T?
Nothing much. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. You talking the Wizards talk. You know, do you like the trade?
Nope. Absolutely not. Do we got time before we go to break?
Yeah, a little bit. We got about a minute.
Listen, you know, you saw my reaction when this trade was made, you know, through our group chat.
Yeah.
This trade netted you absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the grand scheme of things, when you have a front office that's inept, cap space and draft picks don't do much for it, don't hold much value.
Yeah.
Right? You're a team from this point, from my perspective, this is the outside looking in, that lacks any strategic plan long term,
mm-hmm.
of how you want to construct this team and the direction you want to take it in. Then you dump a guy who was a number three overall pick, who you paid max dollars, who you didn't have to pay max dollars.
Me, yeah.
And you got.
You did it earlier, like Troy said, like you didn't sign him like earlier.
And you got Jabari Parker and Bobby Portis in what, a two?
Come on, protected. Man. A protected two. That's the sad thing, a protected two.
Yeah, a protected two. That lets you know that. And then on the flip side, you look at what Dallas didn't get a whole lot for Harrison Barnes. But they did, to me, they got for a team that's.
Harrison Barnes being traded to Sacramento.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You got Josh Jackson, who's a young player that you can work in.
Other than Josh, it's Austin. It's not Josh. Josh Jackson plays for the Suns. I know you're talking about the Carolina kid.
Kid from Carolina.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got him and you got Zach Randolph. So you got a young asset that you can develop, and you got salary cap relief because Zach Randolph was bought out.
Yeah.
Ernie Grunfeld, what did you do? You bought Jabari Parker, who looks to not be a fit at the three.
Well, he's not going to be anywhere.
But this is the thing.
Yeah.
If he's not going to, your keep for the last 27 games, what you needed to do was you needed to bring in young talent so you can develop that young talent, young cheap talent, for next season, two seasons beyond, for when you'll be able to contend. Bobby Portis is a black hole. Have you seen Bobby Portis play?
Oh, I know Bobby.
When Bobby Portis gets the ball, the ball is going up.
Yeah, Bobby Portis
mistake about it.
Yeah.
Bobby Portis was like Zach Randolph when he was with the Knicks.
Yeah.
Ball goes in, it's not coming back out. No. I don't care what happens. The ball's getting put up. A shot's getting put up.
Yeah.
It's just another sad, disappointing trade. And, you know, I don't know what calls Ernie Grunfeld did or didn't make.
Yeah.
But I'll say this. Brooklyn Nets, they wanted
Otto
Porter
Portland
a couple years ago.
Portland wanted him.
It's reported that Portland wanted him, and it's reported that Sacramento was interested.
Yeah. And the Nets were interested this year, too. Reported. They're all reported.
And it's reported.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, I never liked to sign it for a max contract anyway. But
you could got more.
At a certain point, it became of, okay, what are you doing? Why are you waiting to the last minute
of
the trade deadline just to pull a trigger when there could have been, I don't know for sure,
better offers.
There could have been better offers out there that could have netted you more and set you up for the long term.
Yeah, exactly. It may not have been better players, but it could have been better for your organization long term.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. No, I totally agree. I think they could have got more, or like you said, Will T, being in a better position to sign, you know, being in terms of draft picks. I'm not saying that outlandish draft pick, but a draft pick and some cap relief. Better cap relief.
Listen, you're not going to hear me say that Otto Porter would have netted you a high draft pick.
Yeah.
You know, but
something respect. I mean, you could get a late first round.
Come on, Bobby
protected second and a protected second round.
Bobby Portis.
Come on, man.
Jabari Parker.
I think
a second round pick.
If my memory serves me correctly, Bogdanovich.
He would have gotten you a lottery pick at all.
Yeah,
but
Bogdanovich got you a first round pick.
No, you traded. That's
what I mean.
Pick.
You know, you get my point. You know what I'm saying? Like you traded away a first round pick to get Bogdanovich.
And what did that get you?
Exactly. So it is what it is. should the Skins draft a QB in the first round? We'll discuss that after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T and myself, Wiley. We're your host, Ray Gigi's out. The Skins have the 15th pick overall in the NFL draft. Should the Skins draft a quarterback with that first round pick?
No, okay. Absolutely not. Nope, nope, absolutely not. Here's why. And now, you know, they still have to go through the combine and you have to evaluate the quarterback. But to me, it just doesn't seem as if this is a draft with a potential franchise star quarterback. And if you draft one at 15, unless you're sure, 100% sure, you'll reach.
Yeah.
Especially with this team that has so many holes, you know, running back, wide receiver, cornerback, safety, linebacker. I'm pretty sure there's talent at those positions that's above par with the quarterback class that's with the guys that are going to be slotted as a first round, potential first round pick.
No,
in the quarterback position.
No, I agree. I think that the only player that if I'm the Skins, if you could get, but they're not going to get him, is the kid from Ohio State in Dwayne Haskins from Ohio State. Kyler Murray is intriguing, but I've always been on the side to say that I don't know if Jay Gruden can coach him. I feel like he's not – Jay Gruden won't get the best out of Kyler Murray. I feel like if he has a coach that's willing to open up the offense, you know, tailor his offense to Kyler Murray's skill set, then he'll be a lights out player. I believe that he could be a lights out player if he has the right coach. But we've seen here that Jay Gruden is very stubborn within his own offensive scheme. He's not willing to change it up for his, you know, for the talent that he has. So you saw that even with Griffin. Like, to be honest with you, like, he was trying to force Griffin to run his offense and didn't run a lot of read option stuff that we saw in the past with, like, Shanahan and company.
That's true. As you stated, Jay Gruden wants to – He believes in his system, and he believes the quarterback that comes in should be able to execute his system because he believeves his system is so miraculous.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Best thing since sliced bread.
Mm-hmm.
What'll be interesting is what they do in Cincinnati. They have a new coach. Maybe the new coaching staff isn't sold on Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
So Andy Dalton was the quarterback when Jay Gruden was the offensive coordinator in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
So possibly that's a stopgap for you.
Yeah.
But to blow a first-round pick when you're a team that has so many needs, I think would be foolish. But it would be the Washington football thing to do.
No, again.
Get everyone excited coming off of season where, you know, people started to migrate away from the team and not attend the games, you know, get a shiny new toy in free agency and get a first round, a quarterback with your first pick. That would definitely and excite the fan base.
That would definitely be a Snyder move, to be honest with you. I thought about that, too, like in terms of uplifting the fan base. Like drafting a quarterback and then bringing that excitement. But like if you're like a football guy and you're watching where this team is at, and like Will T said, one, this draft isn't as deep as other drafts in terms of the quarterback position. So this team we've seen up front in terms of like the offensive linemen, we've seen a bunch of guys go down with injuries and there's no depth. You got the kid from Oklahoma, the tackle who was projected to be a guard in Cody Ford. You can move him to guard, and then, you know, usually if for some strange reason with the Skins, like their tackles go down, so you can make him a swing tackle, and he can actually back up Trent or Morgan or whatnot, whatever they get into that issue. So I'm with Will. I don't want this team to go quarterback. Unless if a miracle happens and Dwayne Haskins slips, I think that's the only quarterback with Jay Gruden I think that works. And big shout out to my man Maurice Hawkins. He gave me this topic. Actually, I put it on Twitter in terms of what the people want me to talk, what us to talk about, and he provided this topic. So big ups to Dwayne. But yeah, no, that's the thing. Like this, it's up to the Skins. It's up to it's up to Doug Williams. It's up to Bruce Allen. If they're willing to make good football decisions or a decision just to rile up the fan base, because an offensive lineman won't rile up the fan base. A wide receiver, to a certain extent, won't really wild up the fan base.
It would.
You think a wide receiver? Depending, absolutely. You know what? You're right, because depending on the excitement of a wide receiver, right?
Yeah. If it's an electric playmaking wide receiver.
True. But definitely, we believe that a quarterback would have everybody hooping or hollering, just trying to get to camp, right? To see what this dude can do, especially with Kyler Murray. If it's a Kyler Murray.
I'm not 100% sold on Kyler Murray.
No.
Let me say this: I haven't watched enough of him to say if he's. You know,
no, I'm not even saying him being good, though. You dig what I'm saying? That's not because I'm not even 100% sold on Kyler Murray. My thing is that the excitement, right? It's the unknown. Like you see a guy who runs pretty fast, has an arm. You automatically think, oh, this dude could be like the next Russell Wilson or, 2012, that 1 year, 2012, he could be Griffin. You know what I mean? People are going to think that.
I get what you're trying to say, but No, I just don't see. I just don't. And I'll say I haven't watched a lot of football over the this past year, but just having watched the games that I've watched and doing the reading that I've done, this team is missing so much. For you to spend a first round pick on a guy who you may or may not believe is the future. You got other needs.
No, I agree. So earlier we talked about. The Otto Porter trade. We'll discuss the other NBA trades that went down last week after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T and myself, Wally. We're your host, Ray Jeezy's out. So many big moves went down last week. Which team benefited the most from their trade deadline moves?
Oh, that's easy. Philadelphia 76ers. Right,
break it down. Why, man? Why you feel that way, man?
Look what a rookie GM did.
Real talk, he hungry, man. He making moves. He hungry.
He acquired Tobias Harris, who was having... If he didn't play in the West, was having an all-star season.
Yeah, agree.
Right?
Mm-hmm, I agree.
Then you traded away a guy in Markelle Fultz, who there was some frustration and some disappointment, and who some people thought was a bust, and you got a valuable – you got a contributing role player in Jonathan Simmons, right? Mm-hmm. Then you brought in what's his name? Bogdanovich
they call him Bobo.
Yeah,
excuse me.
Yeah, you brought him in also.
That's to make sure that Tobias is cool.
Yeah, I mean,
they had their own podcast. They do their own things together. That's to make sure to take care of my man Tobias.
Yeah, then earlier in the season you brought in Jimmy Butler. Mm-hmm. Who else did they bring in during
this whole thing? They got Mike Scott.
He brought Mike Scott, who's a guy who adds depth to your bench. And I forgot the other guy who they brought in. It was a shooter.
Shaman got traded. So what shooter are you referring to?
Nah, I have I have to look it up.
All right, I tell you what the trade was. All right, so the Sixers gave up rookie Landry Shamet, Ford, Wilson Chandler, stretch big man Mike Muscala, who got traded to the Lakers, is 2020 first round pick. Miami's 2021 first round pick, and it's 2021 and 2023 second round picks. In the trade, the Sixers received Harris center, Harris, Boban, Mike Scott. That's it. Mike Scott. I don't think they got any other shooter.
Okay, well, maybe I'm mistaken. Yeah, I think they just seemed like they did a lot to get better.
They did get better as an organization. I mean, you got Mike Scott, who's a good stretch four. You got more size than Boban. You got Tobias Harris. To me, it's all going predicated on Jimmy Butler. You know what I'm saying? Like, you had talk about Jimmy Butler when he came to this team, about his role on this team in terms of getting shots and whatnot. Now you got Tobias, who's a shot maker, who doesn't complain. Tobias is all about just playing basketball, and he's just a flat-out scorer. So it's up to Jimmy Butler. If Jimmy Butler wants this thing to work, this thing can be dangerous. If Jimmy Butler comes out complaining, then it could be a problem.
Well, to me, if I, the way I look at it, mm-hmm. The 76ers got themselves some Jimmy Butler insurance and yeah, Tobias Harris.
Agreed.
Now, Tobias Harris isn't as good defensively or one-on-one off the dribble, but what Tobias Harris is, he's a hell of a pick-and-roll player.
Yeah, pick-and-roll player.
And he's a hell of a spot-up shooter.
Yeah.
He's the type of guy that if he's your third best option on offense, you're not complaining.
But this is my thing about Tobias, with the way this team is set up. Like, he's perfect for Embiid. He's perfect for Ben Simmons. He moves well without the basketball. He's not pounding the ball. Like, the thing about Jimmy Butler, him pounding the basketball, what does that take? Who does that take away from? The playmaking ability of Ben Simmons, right? So now you got a guy in Tobias Harris who doesn't need to do ISO plays. He doesn't need ISO. He can, you know what I mean? You can feed Embiid in the post, and he can get that spot-up jumper. It all works out. Like, it's a perfect mesh for Tobias. So, again, it goes back to Jimmy Butler. Is he willing to be like that Jimmy Butler in Chicago with Derrick Rose? Strap up. Still score when you need to. Don't get it twisted. But strap up and just have that intensity about being a baller and playing great, solid defense. So we'll see. But other teams made great trades to Toronto Raptors. I like what Toronto did get Marcus Gasol. I like that. You let what's his name? The other big go.
Valachunas.
Yeah, Valachunas go.
Well, let me ask you this.
I heard they wanted to get rid of Conley and
Valachunas.
I mean, Lowry, excuse me.
Valachunas, Marc Gasol. At this point, an aging Marc Gasol.
Yeah.
Do you see a large discrepancy or difference?
Yeah, I think the difference. The only thing I like, the difference between what they are is one, Marc Gasol can shoot three. Well, it's two things, actually. Marc Gasol can shoot the three ball better. That's actually three things. Marc Gasol is a better three ball shooter, better defender, even at this point in time in his career, and also a better passer out the post. I think those are things. And Toronto plays that great, you know, that free flowing offense where, you know, if the ball moves around, if you got a big who can pass like Marc Gasol, it works well. I'm just interested to see how it would work, how their offense or defense works with, you know, Serge Ibaka and Gasol together. They play that lineup. Because don't forget, people forget, Marc Gasol used to be one of the better big men defenders in this game when he was younger.
Yeah, no. Once again, another team with a GM that's not afraid to push his chips to the middle of the table and make a big push.
Yeah.
Then you go to Milwaukee with John Hammond. Mm-hmm. They got a Mirotić.
Yeah.
From the Pelicans.
I like that too. Because Milwaukee hit to me. No, I think to everybody. To be real, it's a fact. They've been the best team in basketball. Like, in terms of how they blowing folks out, like, they are beating the bejesus out of teams.
It's going to be interesting, the Eastern Conference semifinals. Mm-hmm. The top four teams, because you have Philadelphia, you have Boston, you have Toronto, you have Milwaukee. Then you also have Indiana, and they're also
They balling without Victor.
Yeah, top five teams. You know, I don't think Indiana will be able to sustain the success they've had without Victor Oladipo long term, you know, through the next through the last 27 games of the season. But to see the second round and see how that second round is going to play out, you're going to get some amazing matchups and amazing series.
Old school Eastern Conference basketball, right? We actually get to see some competitive series, right? It's not going to be one-sided or one-dimensional. We're going to see two tough teams in the second round, with Will saying, that's going at it. And we can see multiple seven-game series, right?
Absolutely.
So, you know what I mean? So I posed the same question on Facebook. Troy Perry posted, I'm going with Philly as the opportunity for immediate returns on their moves. Their moves are more monumental. Paramount. Chris Bird posted the Sixers as well. Like Will T said, man, the Sixers are definitely the most popular team in terms of improving themselves to a lot of people, but only time will tell. I'm going to say it again. It's up to Jimmy Butler. Like, if Jimmy Butler really dives into this and, like, believes in the process, I mean, no pun intended, this team could definitely do special things and be competitive in an NBA Finals against the Golden State Warriors.
Excuse me, I had to yawn.
It's okay, man. You can yawn.
Tired.
It's okay. It's all good, man. We know I appreciate you being here.
It's going to be interesting, and then also from the standpoint of how teams play Ben Simmons in a seven-game series, playing him under picks. We saw in the Sunday game against the Lakers, LeBron played him with literally 1 foot in the lane, when Ben Simmons was bringing up, when it was initiating the offense from the top of the key, or he was initiating the offense from behind the three-point line.
Yeah.
So depending on the matchup, it's going to be interesting to see how Philadelphia Ben Simmons produces in a seven-game series. Because if Ben Simmons isn't going to take an outside jumper and you're going to play him at the point, you're going to get a lot of double teams on Joel Embiid if the ball goes inside.
That's a very good point. Very good point. This weekend is NBA All-Star Weekend. We'll discuss that after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports Scene.
The Ages.
Get it.
Deuces.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, is born like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, what shouts you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This that put the kids to bed. This that I got realness, I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again, like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine, and it's like a bird. You see fireworks, and carbon tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use it. Your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA. Turn on side a jellyfish, I gauge. See my pedigree, most definitely don't tolerate the front. Like Vince, you'd rather offend you. This is Paula's oldest.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with me, Wally, Will T, Ray Jeezy is out. Check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. It's a great show. Good folks. Cool folks. Sunday, it will be Team LeBron versus Team Giannis. Are you a fan of the format, Will T, and in terms of the leading vote getters picking teams?
Yeah, I think that's fun. It makes it a little fun. It gives the drafting part, and then, you know, with the, you know, being able to see different guys playing with, you know, different on di- you know, matching up with different guys from, you know, different conferences. It makes it fun, because we all know that the All-Star game is just a glorified exhibition. Mm-hmm. Right? Where there's no defense played, and guys usually don't. If the game's close in the last,
that's when they go
five in the last 8 minutes,
that's when
fourth
they go
quarter, then that's when it starts to become an interesting game. But other than that, just a glorified exhibition game. I probably won't watch it, but I'll definitely watch the All Star Saturday night.
Of course, that's the
that's
everybody
gonna
loves
be interesting.
It.
Yeah,
everybody loves that. I respect it. I think it's more, put this way, I think that the new format is more entertaining. I mean, you know, having people, having them have a live, you know, a lot of, you know, I won't say draft, if it's not a draft, but, you know, picking players. I like that aspect of it. But I'm a traditionalist, man. You know, I want to see East versus West, man. You know what I mean? Like, it's a pride thing. Like, you the Eastern Conference. We going against the West. I guess for me, like, I'm always go back to the All-Star game with AI, you know, AI and Ray Allen and Stephon Marbury. When they took over, at the time, was it the MCI Center at that back then?
Yeah, 2001.
It was MCI Center at the time. And, like, that, you know, the West was favorite. The West was supposed to be this big bag, bully on the block. You had Shaq, Kobe, Duncan, Garnett. You know what I mean? Like, they weren't supposed to be in the game. Like, they were supposed to be blown out. And you could tell they took pride in it. Like, Marbury, AI, Ray Allen, all those cats, they took pride in it. Like, we gotta beat the West. You know what I'm saying? I like that. Like,
no, I think you still can get that because you have a bunch of guys who going out there and competing and want to have some bragging rights. Mm-hmm. So I don't think you miss it from that standpoint.
Okay.
But it's just for me, the game isn't that entertaining because of the lack of defense and sometimes the lack of passion that's through the first three quarters. You know, now towards the end of the game, maybe I'll turn it on mm-hmm. if I'm still up and see what the score is. But I, you know, just for me, the NBA All-Star game isn't that, you know, it's not something I look forward to watching. But, you know, definitely All-Star Saturday night. And yeah, that's it.
Before we get to All-Star Saturday night, because I do want to get to that, who has a better team? Team LeBron or Team Giannis? I'll read it off for you, so just in case you don't have it. I got your back. That's why I got your back, bro. All right, so LeBron, you got Team LeBron is LeBron, KD, Kyrie Irving, Kawhi, Harden. His reserves are Anthony Davis, Klay Thompson, Damian Lillard, Ben Simmons, LaMarcus Aldridge, Karl-Anthony Towns, Bill, and Dwayne Wade. So you got all that, right?
Uh-huh.
All right, so for Team Giannis, Steph, Embiid, Paul George, Kemba Walker, Chris Middleton, the Joker, Griffin, Westbrook, D'Angelo Russell, Vujacic from Orlando, Kyle Lowry, and Dirk Nowitzki.
I go with Team LeBron.
Yeah, they stack, man.
I go with Team LeBron, yeah, but I'd also say this with Team
Giannis, Greek Freak. That's called Team Greek Freak.
Team Giannis. they do have the ability. They will have the ability to get out and run.
Oh yeah, of course.
I think that defensively, Team LeBron would be better because, you know, with KD and Anthony Davis
and Kawhi
and Ben Simmons, yeah, those are guys who can. If you put all those guys on the floor together, they can switch everything.
Oh, it's very, very smart. Good point, man. Very good point. I think that what gives Giannis his team some hope is to have Steph in an all-star environment, you know, because people just gun threes in all-star games, right? So you have like the one of the best marksmen in the game, period, in terms of shooting from any angle. So having a guy like Steph in an all-star game format is going to be something special. All right, so you talked about, you know, all-star weekend, man. What do you want to see during all-star weekend? Like, what's your like the dunk contest, the three-point contest?
I'm a big fan of the three-point contest. Mm-hmm. That's probably the thing that I like to watch the most. It's like poetry in motion, seeing some of the best shooters in the world shoot from those racks. So for me, it's the three-point contest.
I'm with you. I'm the same. I want to see the three-point contest. I mean, the cool thing about the three-point contest, you're going to see Steph and Seth playing the three-point contest. I think that's pretty neat to have the Curry brothers in the three-point contest. And also, you're gonna see my man Damian Lillard, the most most underrated star in the game, period. And I love, you know, Dame is that dude. And I just think that you have Dame, Steph, Seth. I think Dirk's gonna be in the three-point contest as well. So it's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be a lot of star power in the three-point contest. Dunk contest, I believe. I'm not sure. I'm correct. I want to say Aaron Gordon is in it, but I'm not sure. But a dunk contest ain't good unless Vince Carter's in it. Vince Carter ain't been in it in years.
I mean, there's some young guys. There's some younger guys.
Oh, I think Dennis Smith is in it. Is Dennis Smith in it?
I don't know. I haven't paid attention to any of that stuff.
I want to say Dennis Smith in it. I gotta check that out. If Dennis Smith Jr.
I haven't
in
paid
it.
Attention to any of that stuff.
I mean, I would like to see Dennis Smith Jr. was robbed last year. You know what I mean? Because I forgot who got it last year. Oh, yeah, dude from Utah. He got it last year.
Who?
Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, I don't think his dunks were like that anyway. I thought they were overhyping Donovan Mitchell. I thought they could have. Like, Dennis Smith Jr. was getting robbed on the judge of that. Oh, what about Embiid and Westbrook? That's what Ray said. Embiid and Westbrook on team Giannis. Embiid and Westbrook, they good?
Well,
Westbrook
no,
can't shoot anywhere.
No, the thing is, when you have Westbrook, he's a guy who only knows how to play at one speed. So he's one of those guys that's going to make it interesting. And, you know, he has that streak in him where he doesn't care about friendships or anything like that. He's out there to compete and he wants to win.
So, I got it. Like, it's like, I feel like competitive nature. That's what Ray's referring to.
Yeah.
That's true. That's a good point. They are competitive, man. They like to win. I feel you, Ray, man. They play with passion, man. They play with emotion. I dig you, man. All right. Kareem Hunt is getting a second chance. Does he deserve it? We'll discuss that after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You did.
Deuces.
I done did a lot of things in my day. I admit it, I don't take back what I say. If I said it, then I meant it. All my life I won a Grammy, but I probably never get it. I ain't never had no trophy or no motherfucking ribbon. Fuck the system, I'm that bend the law, cut the rules. I'm about to risk it all, I ain't got too much to lose. Y'all been eating long enough, it's my turn to cut the food. Pass the plate with my drink, this my day. Lucky you, hope you do. Woo! Y'all gotta move, y'all gotta move. Move. Give me some room, give me some room, give me the juice. How about the coupe? How about the coupe? How about a shoot? Y'all gotta move, y'all gotta move. Give me the juice. Back on my bullets, my back to the wall, turn my back on you all and you finish. Back to these bullets, it's back to the job, put my man out and all of you running. Back on my hood, it's back to the pushing, he's taxing, I'm actually pumping. Can't fuck with you rappers, you practically sucking. You might have went platinum, but that don't mean nothing. I'm actually buzzing, it's time. Straight out the kitchen, I told him the oven is mine. I do not fuck with you guys. If I don't kill you, just know you gon' suffer this time. I ain't no gangster, but I got some bangers, some chains and some blazing, a couple of nines. Choppers and jimmies, a partridge, a petri. My 20s and Christmas was nothing but lies. I run at you high like a sumo. They say I talk like a chulo. I live in Mars, I'm not Bruno. If you're my duck, call me Cujo. You play your cards, I reverse on you all, and I might just drop all like a uno. Calles de boca, my homie, they call it Obuto, and all of you culo. Step the better, the level up in the ghetto, looking for something I probably can never find now. You shake it relevant, tell it to be tied down. The truth is, if you really want me tied down. I've been alone, and I never needed nobody, just only me and my shawty, I tell you, into the lie down. Keep all the money, I never wanted a lifestyle. I just pretty got
you are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray. That's like Ray's not in. Ray's not here. Will T. And myself, Wally. The Cleveland Browns signed running back Kareem Hunt to a one-year deal. Hunt kicked, I almost say kicked or shoved a chick in a hotel.
There was a video of him shoving a young lady and then kicking.
Now it's a hotel. That was his actual place, his residency, right?
No, it was a hotel.
A hotel.
And then kicking a young, and then kicking her.
In a hotel, which was reported by TMZ. Do you think he deserves a second chance?
It's easy for me to say he deserves a second chance because that's not a woman that's in my life, right?
Yeah.
So that's automatically the easy thing.
Yeah.
And then it's also easy for me to say everyone deserves a second chance.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But if that were a woman in my life, family member, someone I loved, and mm-hmm. I saw that happen to him, I would probably be enraged and I would say no. He mm-hmm. doesn't deserve a second opportunity. Doesn't deserve a second chance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious. I know that his team or the people around him stated that, you know, he started to take classes for anger management.
Yeah, he's taking
the necessary steps to kind of regain his, work his way back from this incident. I'm kind of going in circles, but I'm going to get to my point eventually. It's hard for me to say he deserves a second chance. I don't know what's in his heart. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how sincere he is about atoning for what he did. But I'll say this. If you're Kareem Hunt and you've received a second chance, you got to be on the up and up from here on out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, and that starts by you not putting yourself in a position to be in those situations. So monitor who's around you, who comes around you, you know, the guys you hang around with, your team, you know, what situations you put yourself in. And then two, I don't know if he has gone in the public. I think he has had an interview since then, right?
Yeah, he has.
But to me, you have to make yourself vulnerable, and you have to not just have a controlled environment where there's an interview. You know, go and talk to the press. You know, go around tour facilities where, you know, there's been, you know, abused women.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of the things you could begin to do to atone for it, but does he deserve a second opportunity? I say it's too damn soon.
Yeah, too damn soon?
Too damn soon.
All right, so Ray, correct me. It was a
hotel.
An Airbnb. It was an Airbnb apartment. You know, I'm always, you know, this is my thing about, you know, I've always said this. I feel like NFL players are held at a higher standard than regular, like anybody in a regular 9-to-5 gig. So, for instance, if that happened, you know, if that happened to somebody else, they would get another chance. Nobody would, like, kind of say, oh, this is the worst person in the world. No one knows what truly happened in that situation in terms of how he's provoked. Again, he should never put his hands on a chick in terms of going extra, you know, kicking her while after he shoved her. But he's young. I'm a firm believer that if he really is remorseful of the situation, that he should get another chance. But it's up to what he does with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he's like, for instance, Zimmerman, who in my opinion, I mean, who killed Trayvon Martin and acts like a jerk after the fact. Like, obviously, that dude never deserved a second chance. He deserved shit. He didn't. Excuse me, I was about to cuss. He didn't deserve anything. But we're talking about an individual here, like a young man who, you know, he lost his cool. You would just hope that, you know, he learns from the situation. He's blessed to play a game that he can make a lot of money.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. When do we stop taking into consideration talent, right?
Yeah.
Giving another NBA chance. Players or football players another chance.
Oh,
when
it's
we see
fair.
When we see something like
no,
this.
No, I agree. I
right?
Agree.
Because just from you know, not my own personal experience, but I know people who've gone through similar situations, regular folk, right? Yeah. They've lost their jobs, and it's been hard for them
really?
To get... Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they've lost their jobs, mm-hmm. and it's been hard for them to seek employment.
Wow. Okay.
To gain employment mm-hmm. after the situation, okay. especially with that, you know, now Kareem Hunt wasn't charged.
Yeah.
But when something like this has come to light, you yeah. know, it's hard for them to get a second opportunity.
Yeah.
So when do we stop making when do we stop taking into consideration
because it's so talented.
Person's talent and what they can do for you financially and economically?
Instead of morality.
And we look at it from a moral standpoint. Yeah. Now, I understand from a moral standpoint, everyone's, you know, he made a mistake.
Yeah.
He should be given another opportunity. But to me, there's a huge contradictory when it comes to the NFL, and we look at certain guys and we look at where they are in their career and what they could potentially do for a team
mm-hmm.
versus looking at it from a morality standpoint.
Oh, I mean, you have a valid point. I mean, if Ray Rice was still in the prime of his career, right, would he have a job?
Absolutely.
Exactly. Everyone knows, like, the whole Ray Rice situation, it's not that Ray Rice what he did was totally wrong. So what he was totally wrong, and he's being punished. And to me, he kind of does. I mean, if he gets another opportunity, I think he's a guy.
Ray Rice will never get another.
I know. No, I'm saying if he, you know what I mean. But if he did, I think he's a guy that, not to say he would play well, but he'd be a guy that I feel like he's very remorseful. You know, I feel like Ray Rice is very remorseful. But that's neither here nor there. The point is that if Ray Rice was in his prime, he would get an opportunity.
If Ray Rice didn't average 2 point, exactly. or was it 2 or 3 yards per carry, he would, and was 29 years old, Ray Rice would have had another opportunity.
Exactly.
If Ray Rice had came off of what that 1,200 yard year that he had, mm-hmm. and that something like that happened,
he'd have another opportunity.
Yep.
So I mean, it's how the world, it's how the sports world works, though, right? I mean, look at another example. Look at the defensive end who played for the Cowboys and the Carolina Panthers.
Greg Hardy.
Thank you. Greg Hardy. I mean, it is what it is. Like, because he was an elite pass rusher at the time, he got another opportunity. But again, going to Hunt, he's still going to have to answer to Roger Goodell eventually. So if he does, he's eventually going to have to go up to, because I think he's on Roger Goodell's exempt list.
Yes, he's on the commissioner's exempt list. Yeah.
So, you know, he still has an opportunity. He can still be suspended for X amount of games. It's his first offense, so I'm guessing he'll get probably, I mean, if it's fair, the way he'll Roger Goodell's done it, about four.
He'll probably get four games.
Yeah, if it's fair the way Roger Goodell.
Well, he'll probably give him six, then he'll appeal, and he'll probably get three or four because he wasn't convicted.
Yeah, exactly. So it is what it is. I posted this on our Facebook page. My man Reginald Woodson posted, "I don't know about changing his image, but I'm not sure he deserved losing his career over having a young person's foolish night. He was at his residence, and the young woman was asked to leave."
I get it. Uh-huh. I get it. Uh-huh. I understand it. But sometimes you just got to be more like I always say. I think it should sometimes be a double jeopardy or double penalty, right? Uh-huh. One, because of your act, and two, because of your stupidity to not know your surroundings.
Yeah.
And putting yourself in that position.
Exactly. No, I agree. I mean, you know what you have to lose, like what you could lose. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Know what you could lose. So sometimes you're just going to have to turn the other cheek. If you were a professional athlete, it's unfair, but sometimes you have to turn the other cheek. You just have to, because you're judged differently. You know what I mean? To a certain extent, you're judged differently.
But what, another issue, I know we're about to wrap up.
Yeah, go ahead.
But did you hear about your Jay Gruden's
son? Yeah, I heard about something. Yeah. I heard about something.
It'll be interesting. You know, Monte Nichols was.
Oh, Monte Nicholson, yeah.
Was suspended.
Yeah.
Jay Gruden, your son, was on the staff.
Yeah.
Got arrested. What will you do? Will you hold him? I mean,
hold him accountable?
Will you hold him accountable, or will you hold a double standard? It'll be interesting. Yeah. I want to see how this develops. Odds are we probably won't hear much about it.
And to be real with you, it's going to be a double standard because one's a player. I'm going to say it again. Players are held differently than coaches.
Yep.
It is what it is. It's always been that way. But thank you all for listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We appreciate you. But you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene
for ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie. To the swag.